Hey everybody, Dave Hodges. We're back here on the Common Sense Show. Glad you could join us. We have a terrific segment for you here with my friend Robert Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com, and we're going to be talking about what we think the greatest threat to the average American is, and we're going to lay it out there, and Bob's going to take it and run with it. And more importantly, we like to be solutions-oriented. Bob's going to tell us what he thinks we can do to meet these challenges. Before we get started, just want to let you know we have a few really key sponsors here that make this show possible. The first one, Historic Silver Coins. Listen, guys, this stuff is awesome. Doc Holliday, Jesse James, Teddy Roosevelt, they handled these coins, and they're unbelievably cheap. I've used them as gifts, and if you use my name, Dave Hodges, you get $5 off. You want to check this out. They make a great, great gift. Also, we're brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com. If you don't have 6 months storable food, I'm telling you, that's minimum, folks. People say you really need 2 years. But if you don't have 6 months, you're playing with fire. And so let me reach out to you and encourage you to take advantage of our 2 and 4 week packages that we sell in. They're 70% off. They're restaurant quality, 25-year shelf life. It's the best that there is out there on the market. And listen, you say, Dave, I don't know if I can get to 6 months before a crisis. I understand the feeling. Crisis could happen tonight. But there's no time like now to help get ready. 3 days is better than no days, and that's what FEMA says we have. 3 months is better than 3 days, 3 years. You get the idea. So start now. PrepareWithDave.com. And then finally, associated with our fine guest, Robert Griswold, ReadyMadeResources.com. I call Bob lovingly King Prepper because everything that you need and would want, he has. He also spends time consulting with his clients for free. That doesn't happen. And the prices are reasonable, and he'll finance the big items. You can't ask for any more than that. ReadyMadeResources.com is the place to go. They got a number there listed live on the screen, but you can look at the fine products. And then I would say, look at stuff, get ideas. Call Bob and say, hey, Bob, what do you think I need to start if you're a beginner at this? Some of you may be experienced and you're just shoring up loose ends. Well, that's what you want to do, too. ReadyMadeResources.com, and they're a proud sponsor of the Common Sense Show. We're not here without them. All these people make this show possible because airtime ain't cheap. Bob Griswold, my friend, welcome to the show. We got a lot to unpack.
Hey, Dave, ain't cheap? That sounds like you're from Tennessee, like me.
Yeah, I like Tennessee, man. I think the coolest people. I had a news director, Andy DeRiso, for 6 years from Tennessee. I love Tennessee.
I'm going to go Tennessee on you, but I already didn't know that.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, I got to tell you, your college basketball team down there is really good.
That's excellent.
They're doing
Dave, I'll just tell you, you know, we've seen the Department of Homeland Security tell people to go from just a couple weeks worth of food. Now they're out at 6 months. If they probably were telling the truth, it'd probably tell you longer than that. Mm-hmm. It's just that if they go much further than that, people are going to start really going, what is going on? And, you know, I think that's America's greatest Achilles tendon is the fact that, you know, we have this bubble that we're living in. And we think because it's been around us most of our lives that it's going to always be there. And yet the signs of the bubble bursting are everywhere. You just have to look. I mean, you know, Dave, I fear this upcoming election cycle because, I mean, you look at the radical elements that are out there now in the mainstream. We're not talking about Antifa or people like that. We're talking about they've incorporated them into the government, into the Democratic Party, and they're just calling for everything you can't even imagine. Private property rights gone, you know, becoming vegan. I mean, just forcing this unbelievable vision they have, this contorted vision that has never worked anywhere on the American people. And because we have lived where we have abundance, God's blessing has been on us, we take it for granted. And yet, I think the signs are all around us that the bubble is bursting. We just see the political winds in the United States just, I mean, at odds with one another. And we should really take this very serious, what we're watching, because it could change on a dime. I mean, the Bolshevik Revolution built and built and built, and then all of a sudden, it turned violent. And that's the way we see so many insurrections. And I do call it an insurrection because that's what it is. We have an active, ongoing deliberate insurrection going on in our country. The elements of it are in the Democratic Party. Some of the Republicans are there, and there's a lot of independents there that are just they're calling for a complete overhaul of our change of government. When you have a former aide to a president, Barack Obama, I had his name up just a few minutes ago, calling for civil war if Trump is reelected. That is staggering.
Geltzer. You're talking about Geltzer.
Yeah, that's Geltzer. Yeah. Thank you. That meets any legal definition of treason, according to the Constitution. And so, but nothing's done. And so we just see the extremes being pushed more and more every day, and nobody does anything about it. It just keeps pushing. And no one, we've heard all these stories about how these arrest warrants are out there, and there are no arrest warrants. They're not going to arrest these people. These people have committed high crimes against our country, and they're going to get away with it in this life, not in the next life. But no one's going to arrest them. I mean, we just see Donald Trump's pretty much having to just to keep his head above water in some ways, just to fight for the little he's fighting for. But the big things, they just can't go after them. The deep state at this point is too well entrenched. And that's the thing, because we've lived in this political system, we just take it for granted all things will continue the way they are, and I don't think they are. I remember what Steve Quayle said after Branson, the conference in Branson this last, I think it was September, October. He said, after this conference, normal will be no more. And, I just continue to watch America swirl down into the moral toilet bowl, and I just think when it can't get any worse, it does get worse. Dave, I read a story the other day. This woman, and it was being celebrated, she marries her zombie doll.
Oh, yes.
Consummated. She was bragging about it. People like that used to be put in the nut house. And now we celebrate things like this. It's just a form of mental illness that is sweeping the country where people think that bizarre is normal and normal is bizarre. It can't continue this way. And when we have a nation that is celebrating the butchery of live born babies or holding babies in the birth canal while we dissect them so we can harvest the body parts while they're still alive, no nation is going to survive that. It's called unrequited blood. It goes all the way back to Abel, Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel, and God said, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. It's crying for justice. And yet, every day in this country, we are taking live-born babies and just murdering them for their parts after they're born. They do a botched abortion or whatever, and the baby's – whoops, a botched abortion. That's a mistake. The baby's born alive. But and the Democratic Party could not even come up with a fact to say that we have to save a life. Once it is out of the womb, once it is breathing on its own, you still have the right to kill it in this country. That is the most heinous, barbaric, unimaginable thing I could imagine. So I just tell Americans, we've been – as Lot – the Bible says Lot's righteous soul, when Lot was in Sodom, was vexed, confused by the filthy deeds of the people, and America's soul has been vexed. We no longer know how to blush. We no longer can hide our face in shame. We not only that, we boast in our shame, and that's the danger for most Americans. There's so many of them out there, Dave, but that's the thing that we become complacent in this depraved cesspool that America is becoming, and we think everything is okay. God is just. He's not going to allow this to continue. And so my first thing is that tell people to, if you've got issues in your life between you and the Almighty, get them right. Don't let him continue. You want his blessing on you in this time. You want him to pour down upon heaven his protection, his blessing, his understanding, his wisdom. And if you have issues in your life that you're not dealing with that you know are displeasing to him, you cannot expect those blessings to flow into your life. So I would say get that right, and first so you get your spiritual aspect of your life right, because we are in such a spiritual war today that the forces of Lucifer have been let loose on this planet. Pastor Michael Lake calls it hell is in ascension. And we are just seeing men that you thought were stable, normal, They're falling one by one because they try to do it in their own strength. And this is not a battle you can win in your own strength. We might be able to win a temporary moral battle or a temporary political battle in our own strength, but we cannot win the spiritual battle that we're facing. So the call is, to get in the Psalm 91, call upon the Lord, that the Lord would shadow you with his wing and protect you and cover you. And I was on a program the other day, and somebody was saying, well, that doesn't mean we don't need to prepare. No, it doesn't. It means when you're obedient to him and you're doing what he tells you to do, then he covers you with his wing. You can't just sit there and disobey him and expect him to give you divine protection. You obey him, and he protects you. The case I gave was the fact that the Bible says when we see in the end time Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, we're to flee. Now, if you pull out a lawn chair and sit on your roof and say, "Protect me, Lord," I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. The Lord said, "Flee for a reason. Get out of there. Save your life." And then when you're in the process of fleeing, in the process of leaving, then he covers you with his wing and protects you. But you can't expect him to do that in disobedience. So get that right in your life. That's the first and foremost thing you have to get. And then as you get the spiritual life of yourself, your family, or those around you that you love right, then look to the temporal, because there's nothing worse than seeing your children go hungry or seeing you're being victimized because you didn't have the ability to defend yourself. I mean, with just the recent headlines should tell you the insanity what the world is. I mean, again, now we just had this thing today where North Korea broke off talks. It's questionable whether he really ever intended on doing it. I mean, it might have been just, for a public relations stunt. But basically, Korea's back to where it was, before Trump came in. It looks like the talks have broken off. I don't know if he'll come back to the table or not. I mean, we have this thing in India and Pakistan. About a decade ago, you remember when the Pakistanis went into that hotel in Mumbai and just started killing and murdering everybody. The Indians basically absorbed that. They didn't do too much about it. Now we have basically a war going on the border. Both of those are nuclear powers. That could go catastrophic very quickly. Not saying it will, but it could. So we see all these things. And in the United States, what are the headlines? The voodoo doll thing. In France, you can't use the word mother and father anymore. They're outlawing normal parenting. The LGBT community is now seeking to redefine normal family values as theirs, and that Christian values are dangerous. UCLA students support concentration camps for Trump supporters. Yeah, I mean, this is America. We're supposed to be free. I mean, but you see these people going into these institutions of lower learning, depraved living, and they're coming out like little Nazis. I mean, speaking of Nazis, Dave, Adolf Hitler did not have centers specifically designed to murder babies for money. I mean,
he did the opposite, Bob.
I know.
Brought in the Nazi SS guys that thought to be the superior master race breed to breed with women, to have babies.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we're doing everything we can to destroy this civilization. But again, I mean, if I was Jewish in Hitler's Germany, I could at least try to find a firearm and fight back. I might die, but maybe take a few of the Nazi bastards with me, I mean, that's what I could do. But a baby, nothing. It's the most innocent member. So they're shedding this innocent blood. They're doing it as an offer to Lucifer and to get money. I mean, what do they get for that brain? $300. I mean, I just can't imagine the depths of that depravity. You talk about, is that a consummate Nazi or what? Selling and murdering little babies for money. Oh my gosh. And it really falls disproportion in the black community. I mean, it is a holocaust in the black community of aborting unborn black children. It's terrible, but that's where they target, because they know those people are economically disadvantaged, so they abuse them and take advantage of them. So we see that going on, the concentration camps thing. I just saw another story, and we're seeing more and more of them, where men joining women's sports teams, and then they're just massacring them. I mean, just everything that is normal is being turned on its head. New Jersey requiring 5 years old to actually be taught and watch graphic oral sex between same-sex people. and then you cannot opt out of it in the UK when they're doing it. This is a global phenomenon of degeneracy and debauchery. And believe me, God is going to bring judgment. We're seeing it manifest right now. The taking away of peace in our country, the taking away of our national prosperity. I mean, you know, we go into war. We never win these wars. We just go in there in Afghanistan 20 years. If you go to Deuteronomy 28 and look at the science of God's bringing judgment on a nation, we fit everyone. Our families are broken. Foreigners are coming in and taking. I mean, foreigners are actually just kidnapping young women and taking them and putting them in a perverse trade, making them do things that just no human being should have to do. You don't even want to repeat it on the air. I mean, just compromise night after night after night, dozens of times a night. And we see all this happening because we've tolerated these doctrines of demons. And keep in mind, you know, Nazi Germany and fascist Italy were once the zenith of human civilization, art, literature, science, you name it. They were producing the best of the best of those people, artists, scientists, literary people, educators. They gave into doctrines of demons. And when they did, those societies went from extremely developed to bombed out relics. And it took millions of souls, many of them innocent, many of them did not like Hitler, but because those nations gave into those doctrines of demons, many, many people died, and it had a root cause. And so we see these things going on in our nation today, and that's why we need to take it seriously. I just, Dave, there's a passion in my heart for my fellow countrymen. You know, I've said this before. If you don't buy from me, if you don't buy from Dave, I think you should. But if you don't, get it. Because the last thing people want to hear is, Mommy, I'm hungry. I mean, I've seen that, Dave. I've been throughout the impoverished world. And I've seen people desperate for food and the basic necessities of life. And parents will do anything to feed themselves and feed their family. And you don't need to be that way. God, in his wisdom, warns people ahead of time. He uses human agency many times. He uses you, Dave. He uses the Hagmans. He uses Steve Quayle. There's so many of them out there. He uses human agency to say, listen, you have the record. You have history. You have the biblical record. This is what happens. Pay attention to it. Do something about it. And unfortunately, so many Americans are just grossed into entertainment, that they just let these things slide by, thinking, well, yeah, that's those people on the fringe. But when your government is saying 6 months, when your government is building deep underground bunkers, when your government is storing millions of rounds of ammunition, tons of food. I mean, I've seen some of those bunkers, and you know what I saw in it, Dave? Freeze-dried food.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
It's in there. So, exactly. I mean, they're doing it, and they're doing it with our tax money. I mean, at least we could take some of our money and do it for us, but they're taking our tax money and doing it for them. So, you know, that's what I would recommend. I don't know if you have any probing questions, you usually do, but so civil war is, in my opinion, I saw Newt Gingrich say we're in a civil war. I saw another gentleman, I think it was some institute, but he was saying that there's a civil war coming. And these people saying civil war coming now are not what you would consider fringe people. These are mainstream people.
Yeah, let me read to you a couple things, okay? I want to get your reaction. I wanted to let you have that intro for kind of like an intro monologue here a bit to set the tone. But I've got some communications here that are just nothing short of bizarre. Here, let me pull up this one right here. Okay, here we go. Dear Dave, my second job is working. I'm going crazy with these ads invading my phone. My second job is working at a gun store in Tucson. I have info on Chinese nationals buying guns that is newsworthy. It's crossing my store. I see it every day. Then I've got one from Paul Martin, and we all know who Paul Martin is from revolutionradio.org. Dave, I'm getting reliable reports of Russian activity at a bar nearby Buckley Air Force Base. By the way, that's where Space Command used to be before Trump took it away. And it's in Aurora. It's actually about 3 miles from where I grew up. What do you make of this activity? And I got one more. I did an article 10 days ago CDC facility, Northern Colorado, and filled with military vehicles, always empty, filled with military vehicles, overflow. And now we're seeing this huge outbreak of CWS, which is tainted mad cow disease that's invaded elk and deer. And a lot of people are telling me this can jump species. But are these related? How do you see these things?
I see them through biblical light, Dave. I mean, that's the only way I can know history, is to see it through biblically light, because as they say, it's his story.
Yeah.
And I just, again, I read Deuteronomy 28, and it says, "Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all thou settest thy hand to do, until thou be utterly destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make pestilence cleave to you." The zombie deer disease. And we see the mad cow disease. We have 25% of Americans have a sexually transmitted disease. I am very confident, by the grace of God, I will never get a sexually transmitted disease, because I don't plan on going out and doing the activity that causes them. You know, if you obey God, the chances of getting those things are really low. Now, there's always the husband that's cheated on his wife, or the wife's that cheated on his husband and it gives it to the innocent partner. I understand that's tragic. But when 25% or 30% of Americans have a consuming disease in their body, we see, you know, our animal livestock being infected with disease. We see mass die-offs of fish, birds, everything in our country. You have to understand that when God's blessing is taken off, you know, there's a law called, it's called entropy. If you know what the word means, mm-hmm. It means all things tend to go from a state of organized to disorganized. You let your lawnmower sit out in the rain and it rusts, and eventually just the wheels fall off and rust, and you know, all that. Civilizations follow that same path. People follow the same path. We get old and die. When God's blessing is there, he holds that in stasis. He can hold back those forces of decay and rot and bring blessing and life into that situation. When we, as a nation, follow gross, and I mean foul, gross perversion and murder and bloodshed, that blessing goes away, and the laws of entropy take over. We swirl down into moral depravity. Our families fall apart. Our animal, our livestock, God's blessing is no longer on that. It's no longer in our crops. All these things start to happen until we're consumed and utterly destroyed. Now, here's the good news, Dave. And I always like to look at the good news. I love two characters in the Bible. They were called Noah and Joseph. Because, you know, fear gets a bad rap. If I'm, you know, fearful of the aliens coming down and stealing my food supply and, you know, stuff like that, that's probably an inordinate fear. You know, it's probably not going to happen. And so, you know, you can have a paranoid fear, and those are irrational, and God hasn't given us that kind of spirit of fear. But the Bible says that God moved Noah with a holy fear. And he acted upon what he knew was coming. He didn't sit there and look for driftwood. He built an ark and did something. That's why it bothers me when I hear somebody says, "Well, I'll just have faith." Well, if you're okay, you have faith. Okay, where's your food supply? Well, I don't have it. I'm going to trust the Lord. That's not faith. That's foolish. I mean, look, Noah. I mean, and I've said this before in your program before, and I'll say it again because I think it's worth mentioning. To me, other than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in redemption, the greatest act of faith in the Bible is the building of the ark. And yet it took Noah 100 years of hard labor to do it. So Noah had to act. He moved. It says he moved with holy fear and built the ark, put the food on, and all the things, all the logistics he had to do. You know, imagine if Noah had, you know, the freeze-dried food you sell, he would have probably been, you know, "Hey, Dave, can you sell me a couple of, you know, billion pounds of this?" You know, and he'd have stuck it on the ark, because it'd probably been easier to use that than what he had to bring on. But anyhow, you know, they moved with holy fear and did it. But again, I challenge everybody, just go read Deuteronomy 28. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption. This means like consuming diseases that are in our our body, like, you know, so many of the sexually related diseases or consuming diseases, and with fever and with inflammation and with extreme burning. That sounds like, you know what, and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven over thee, over thy head shall be brass, and the earth underneath thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. So he withholds it. You know, I was just reading today, they're saying now that the big one in California might be a volcano. So we just see, it just seems like California is facing disaster after disaster after disaster. And you know, I know why. And it's not that God has to curse. It's just that he removes his blessing. And entropy takes over. It starts swirling down again. Unless he holds it up and props it up and blesses it and creates that those degrading forces, it holds them at bay. And he gave the church to do a lot of it. And the church has basically said, well, we don't want to do that. Just like on Mount Sinai, when Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments, the sheep down below, they were making idols and having, you know, let's just say orgies. You know, they kind of left. They, instead of bearing the mark of what God had called them to do, they went the other way. And today the church has done that. And so all the restraining force that holds the forces of entropy at bay have been removed. And we're just seeing this downward swirl. And again, like I said, the good news is Noah, Joseph, and others in the Bible, even in the New Testament, he said, when you see these things come about, flee. Fleeing's a biblical concept, getting out of the way. Hey, if I see a train coming and I'm on the tracks, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I'm going to have faith, you know. My faith makes me step off the track. And so if I say, you know, I see these things coming to pass, I see all these horrible things, and I know that the end is judgment and cursing and enslavement, but, you know, I'm not going to do anything about it, then you're the guy who stands in the middle of the track saying, the Lord, the train's not going to hurt me. It will. And so that's my exhortation to people.
Yeah, don't tempt God. I would totally agree with that. Hey, Bob, you kind of inadvertently raised the subject of emigration. Is there a time that people should consider leaving America? Is there a trigger point for you?
This is really, you know, I would say if you're Hispanic and you move into if you went back down, say, to a Hispanic country, you fit in. This is delicate. I've been the minority in a country, you know, the big white boy in the land of where that's not normal. When all hell breaks loose, you're going to be the odd man out. That's just the way things work. I mean, it is. There are exceptions to that, but generally that's how it works. So it's a very complex question. You want to consider all the aspects of what you will face should the United States not be able to influence through their embassies or whatever into the country you plan on moving. Has it been stable? I mean, a lot of countries that you might look to as you go down to South America or something like that have had revolutions in them. Their economies have been overturned. So there's a lot of things that you need to take into consideration. Plus, you don't know, you might not know the language, you might not know the customs. You have to know those things well. And so if somebody thinks about doing it, I would just say, make sure you slowly go down there and incorporate yourself into that society and make sure you feel very comfortable in that society, because It is terrible. I mean, I'm a person who believes that Adam and Eve were the original parents of all colors of people on this planet. So in every way, I'm related to the black man, the yellow man, the red man, all of us. We have a common mother and father. And so that makes those people my brothers and my sisters. And so that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I try to act upon. But the world doesn't act upon that. They act upon what separates people. And, you know, skin color can separate people. So it's just something that if you do that, be aware of the pitfalls that you're going to face when the United States might not be able to exert influence through their embassies, and make sure that you can incorporate yourself into that society well, knowing its customs, its mannerisms, all those things that you would need to know. You don't want to be, not only just, you know, the politics of skin color, but you just don't want to be the guy out there that's, you know, doesn't know the customs, then you stick out like a sore thumb. Or you have the nicest house on the block, you know, because you can go down to some of these countries and you sell a $200,000 house down here in America, which is an average house. You go down there and you can get a real hacienda mansion ranch. And at that point, you know, you've just painted a big target on yourself. You want to incorporate into the natural habitat of what the people do, their customs, their food, everything. In that case, you could consider it. If other than that, I think you're best to stay put where you are because you're familiar with all the intricacies.
What about circumstances, though? I mean, I think circumstances that one's facing would have a lot to do with the urgency of leaving.
Circumstances can, yeah, absolutely, but you don't want to go from the fire into the frying pan is what I'm trying to say. People have successfully, in fact, there's the United States right now is experiencing the greatest expat community that we've ever had. More and more people are just saying, I'm fed up with it. Fed up with the taxes, the corruption, I mean, you can't do anything in California. I mean, you know, without a permit, they're gonna have cow fart permits before they know it. They have they're trying to get an exit tax. If you don't like our brand of tyranny and you want to leave, we'll tax your house to death. But when you sell it, I mean, people are just getting fed up with it, so they are leaving. But I do know some of them that have gone down into these places and then they've seen it is not the the utopia they thought they might have had, and they come back. So just make sure you know what you're doing when you do it and that you feel comfortable in the society that you're going to put yourself down. If you're childbearing age parents, you're going to have children that will be citizens of that country. So you have to consider all those different aspects. Can you transfer your money down there? There are getting to be more and more strict regulations of how much money you can transfer out of the country. So you just have to take all those things into consideration. So I would have to say, if the Lord leads you, absolutely. If it's just something you just want to get out and think that, you know, this is too bad a place and I need to go somewhere else, do it carefully.
Well, let me give you a scenario, okay? So we go shooting in Venezuela. It turns nasty. And now they need a draft. You going to let your kids go fight in a banker war?
That's the thing. No. I mean, right now we have a volunteer army, so that's a good thing. But, again, there's always the conscientious objection, and that's what you would have to do if you cannot fight that war. You would have to file for conscientious objector and say, I'm going to pay the price for not doing it. There could be a price. But in an unjust war, you know, even if your child was incarcerated, it's better than sending them down being dead. For somebody else's profit. It's just something that we have to consider, and it is multifaceted. If it's a complex question, it's hard to give a yes or no answer to. So many aspects of it come into play, and so that's what I would tell people. If you go down to a country and you feel like you fit in and you feel like you can adhere to their customs and take on their mannerisms and accept their history and all that, then yeah, do it. But just make sure you understand all the dynamics before you do it.
I hear what you're saying, but I mean, to me, Bob, the scenario I just described is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. We get a draft over these incursions that we're flirting with right now. I'm not letting my kid go off and fight.
Exactly. That's the thing. You can do one of two things. You can send them out of the country. I mean, that happened to the people went to Canada. If you feel like it, if it violates your conscience, you know, we still have that right of conscience in the country, supposedly, where you could say, no, I cannot do this according to my conscience. And that will take you where it takes you. I mean, it could go either way. Obviously, the Amish are never, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, all those types of people, they have stated in their doctrines of faith that they will not fight or take up arms. So there's a lot that comes into play with it. Fortunately, you know, I had two of my sons go off to war, and they turned. Now that we look back at history, they were banker wars. I mean, we accomplished nothing in Iraq. We actually did a lot of damage, and Afghanistan is still going on 20 years later. And so how many Americans have died? How much national treasure have we spent? And so I wouldn't want to send one of my sons over there to do that. I just wouldn't, because it's like, okay, why haven't we won this war? What were our objectives? How do we get in? How do we get out? That was never defined to the American people. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, we had a lot of good people's blood spilled and with no goal or end game in sight.
Well, their method for getting people to go is pretty uniform. You know, they stir you up with nationalistic images. The globalists become nationalists temporarily when they want to use your kids and kill your kids for their ends. And then they stir up...
No kids never go.
Yeah, exactly. And they stir up the frenzy, and then they send the people off, and they bring them back, and they treat them like dog crap, and don't support them. And I could go on and on and on. I'm just telling you, this is something that I think we need to get out, Bob. It's been preying on my heart, because we're headed to war. We're going to war somewhere, because that's what the globalists want. It's how they make their money. It's how they make their political gains.
We are going to have a World War III, yes, absolutely.
We are going to have a war. And what I'm saying, Bob, is this, is that Americans need to stand up and say, you go have your war with you and your kids. We aren't going.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi's grandchildren won't be going to fight in that war. They won't do it. If they do, if they go into the military, they'll get some cushy job where they're behind the lines and they won't have to face danger.
Yeah, just like George W. Bush.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's how it was. I mean, during the Vietnam War, it was a disproportionate amount of blacks that were drafted and sent into, you know, die and all those things, and because it was just the easiest thing to do. Very tragic for that community, and we don't want to do that anymore. We as a nation, we just need to say no more of these foolish wars. But again, they're hell bent on it. I mean, because their father is Lucifer, they are hell bent on destruction, and they're gonna get us into a global war. I mean, the Russians are, you know, they're saber rattling. You know, I mean, look how many people on the planet today. The Chinese are building their military. The Russians have now said they have this Poseidon cruise missile that goes underneath the water with a 100 megaton bomb and creates a radioactive tsunami. We just see first strike weapons being built and used, not used, but being built and threatened to be used. And these first-strike weapons are extremely destabilizing. I mean, what's happening in Europe right now? We backed out of the non-proliferation treaty for whatever reason, and now what's happening is we're starting to put nuclear missiles back into that theater. And that's for the Russians have said, we're not going to use nuclear weapons there, but we will put Poseidon missiles off the coast of the United States. And again, they've laced these with, I think, something called cobalt, which makes the tidal wave extremely radioactive, where you can't occupy the city for 100 years afterwards because of the radioactive debris from the bomb. I mean, these people are insane. They want war, and any sane person wants peace. I don't want to go to another land and kill people. I want to do trade with them, do commerce, you know, bring them here and good things. But again, to get back on track, it goes back to the judgment of God on our nation, the war, continuing war and fighting. And it's just bleeding off our national resources, bleeding off the best of our young population that are going to fight it, become either dead. They're getting dead, they're getting maimed, or they're coming back psychologically traumatized by what they've seen. And, you know, the rate of suicide among veterans is shameful. I mean, these men and women went and served. What they tried to do was a noble thing. They were used maybe for ignoble purposes, but they were there to do a noble thing, to do the right thing. And when they come back, they have, because of what they've seen, they have all these psychological issues, and they're just basically abandoned. And the rate of suicide among them is tragic. I mean, it is tragic. So, but again, it goes back to being a sign of God's judgment on our nation. And it's sad. Very, very sad, Dave. And so the thing is now, the solution is again, and this is what I want to talk about, is that you have the opportunity right now to do something. I mean, the name it and claim it and prosperity gospel has so neutered the church. God gives me everything. I don't have to earn a thing. It just falls from heaven, manna from heaven. That's not the way the world works. If you hear the voice of the prophet, if you hear the voice of the watchman saying, you know, or you hear the voice of history or the voice of biblical truth saying, you know, things aren't going well, I'm going to bring judgment. You have two choices here. Look for driftwood or build an ark. Now, Dave, I think for me, building the ark sounds like a pretty good plan. You know, looking for driftwood, hoping I can find enough of it. I mean, you know, just remember, there were the people that they're on the Titanic. There were people in the lifeboats, and there were people holding on to. They had life vests, but the conditions of the water were so bad that they died in the water. The ones in the lifeboats survived. So you have the chance to do the lifeboat or the driftwood. And I think if you pray and people seek God, what they should do, they'll be looking to the lifeboat and not the driftwood.
Yeah, and the driftwood, yeah, that's a good analogy there, because this is what our country's becoming, is driftwood. This is what the left is going to turn us into, is driftwood. And, you know, let me ask you a question. What do you think the motivation of Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris and these other people, what do you think their motivation is to give away the country?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, did Adolf Hitler, did Himmler, did Goering, did Goebbels believe in what they were saying? Did they believe they were the master race? Did they believe that it was right to murder Jews, gypsies, and anybody else they just didn't like? Yes, they did. They believed they were right. They believed they were doing God's work. It's called being deceived and deluded. It's called being giving into doctrines of demons. So, you know, these people, they have an inordinate crave for power, first of all. We've seen that. I mean, it's just they have this lust for just raw political power to exercise their authority over other people to make themselves feel big. To me, they're very small people, but they have to make themselves feel big. But at the same time, AOC, I think she really believes that the Kool-Aid she's drunk is good for her. And she doesn't know that she's the emperor with no clothes, and everybody just looks and sees it, that she's out of her mind. And, you know, what is a credit score of 450, never held a job, never married, never had children, I mean, never managed a business, and now she's managing the nation's finances. This is insanity. So, yes, Nancy Pelosi believes the vomit she spews, but at the same time, you know, they have this raw desire for political power, and it's unhealthy all the way around, but they do believe it. Yes, they've given into these doctrines of demons, and they believe it with all their heart.
It is just mind-boggling. When things are working for people in a country, and to get to that level of politics, things are obviously going pretty well for them, why they would turn their back on it, flush it down the toilet, and say, we don't want any of these traditional American things. Are they trying to curry favor with the New World Order, hoping for a better position?
It's multifaceted, absolutely. But at the core of it, it is demonic deception. I mean, why, when we know what taking a street drug like methamphetamine, crack, why do people start it? Because of the feeling they get from it. Politics and what it brings to these people is that euphoria that other people get from drugs, but just like the drug, it has a horrible payday to it, and it just becomes a self-destructive lifestyle. And these people have so bought into the lie of Lucifer that they can't stop what they're doing. They're addicted to it, and so they're very dangerous, very, very dangerous people. And so, again, if people draw anything from this conversation this evening, you can, in a lot of ways, insulate and shield yourself from it. The other day when you had the nine steps towards, a Holocaust, we see pre-Holocaust language being used in the United States today. What will you do? Dave, have you ever been out? Has your wife ever been late coming home? Raining, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, she won't answer the phone. Where's she at? Or one of my children? All of a sudden there's a little bit of panic that goes on in her heart.
No, I agree. I hear it. Yes, you're right.
You can't communicate with them. So what's it going to be like when the real manure hits the oscillating device and you can't communicate with your wife, your children, friends? Again, you know, and how relieved I am. The other night, my son just got his driver's license, and it started raining really bad, and I just called to see how he was doing, didn't answer phone. And for the next 2 hours, I was blowing his phone up, you know. And then, Dad, I stopped by and talked to a friend, but I was panicked. Oh, my gosh, how come he won't answer? Did the communication finally getting through? And he's saying, Dad, I'm fine, no problem. that was so relieving. And that's, again, why I tell people that, that the communication thing is so important. And that's, you had in that article the other night that one of the things the government does, and that's what they will do, is they'll turn the cell phones off, they'll turn the IP addresses off, because, bad people will use it, social media, to network their malfeasance, and the government, to prevent that or to orchestrate that, depending on who they're doing, I mean, you will manipulate the IP address, your cell phone, whatever. I would definitely say that the conservative websites will go down. Any type of news service that they would provide will go down completely. And that way, at that point, all you have is, again, the communication via radio.
Bob, let me stop you right there. I agree with you. And that would be the most unsettling thing for me in my life if I was trying to head home from wherever and the poop hit the fan. And I couldn't find my son and wife. I would be beside myself.
You would be, and rightfully so.
But I want to point something out. I know a little bit about your inventory, because I've known you for a long time. You got some stuff that can help with that, don't you?
Dave, I don't want to make it sound like an infomercial.
No, people need to know. Hold on, don't be modest.
I've talked to people all over the world. Via radio. It's very difficult to jam and stop. They can do it on local basis, but to do it all, it's difficult. Now, you want to use some exercise caution with it when you're doing it, if under martial law type environment and you need to communicate, you want to do it to where you're not going to draw attention to yourself. But yes, I could communicate with my wife. My family all has ham radios, and I could say, rally point A, rally point B. I'd never say meet here or there, because anybody who's listening would meet me here or there along with my wife, and God knows what they do to her, and they might kill me because they could set up an ambush. So we've defined rally points with different terminology. I would never call her name. She might be, RG, Roxanne Griswold. But I would never use their names. And so all those things are pre-planned ahead of time for us to know what to do in a case of an emergency. She might be up in Knoxville, which would be a three-day hike home. Now, if she had the ability to communicate with me during those 3 days, or I had the ability to meet her halfway or whatever we needed to do, it's going to make me feel much, much better, knowing that she's okay for right now, and that we have a plan to get and meet together again, and survive whatever comes with us together. And nothing is worse, like you said, than not knowing and thinking your children, your wife, or somebody in your family has been abducted or whatever. But yeah, so I'll be glad to help anybody. We've mentioned this so many times, but I think the hour is getting closer and closer, and the time to take these matters serious is upon us. And ham radio communication is a very, very strong asset for the people that have put it into play and know how to use it. And as we've addressed before, you're not going to be able to whip the radio out of the box that you bought and threw it in the closet and pull it out at the last minute when you need to and say, now what do I do with it? Because that's exactly what you're going to do with it. You're going to say, now what do I do with it? I don't know. And it's not going to be very effective for you.
So what do people do with it?
Well, you learn. It's like anything else. You learn ahead of time what to do. We have radio drills. There's actually ham radio clubs actually have ham radio drills. They have what's called field day, where you try to make contacts with as many people as you make contacts with. You learn how to do it. And so that's ham radio field days were actually set up by the government in case of a national emergency to exercise the ability for ham radio operators to transmit information across the country. That's what they were originally set up for. Now they've become contests and everything else now, and a lot of fun, and people enjoy it, and they get together and have cookouts while they're doing it. But that's what it was originally set up for.
Yeah. So listen, we're approaching our end point here for this interview, Bob, but you're hitting some really good points, and I feel like we're kind of left incomplete. Certainly communications is important, and you've hit that, but there's a whole lot other stuff people need to know about, like night vision and so forth. Can people get a hold of you? Can they just call you up and say, hey, Bob, I heard you on Dave, and you guys kind of ran out of time. I'd like to know more about X or Y or Z. What can they do?
Absolutely. 800-627-3809. I promise you nobody here is going to twist your arm and try to give you the sales tactic that I have one left, and if you don't get it, somebody else will. We don't do that here.
Yeah, I hear you.
We'll talk, We'll talk to you, and if what we say sounds reasonable, you have the decision. You know,
exactly.
Do I or don't do it?
We are out of time. We're right up against the wall. So I want to give that number again, 800-627-3809. People, listen to me. I get rave reviews from people in my audience that deal with Bob and buy his products. But mostly, Bob, thanks for coming on and enlightening America. I greatly appreciate it.
God bless, Dave. Thank you.
God bless you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was just a terrific 3 hours, and I want to thank all of you for being a part of it. I wanted to come on here for a moment before we close for the evening. And I wanted to let you know that I get a number of people that write to me and say, Dave, I can't find your archives, can't find your archives. All right, listen, the 4 hours that we do on radio are always at Global Star Radio Network, gsradio.net. You can look it up. Many of you know how to access that. We also publish during the following week, but not on a regular basis, but we do get them up, the shows on the website at thecommonsenseshow.com, where I write a daily article, and we have some guest articles from guest authors as well. So you can get it there. Also, we, again, as I mentioned in the last hour, we are on Megaphone, and we'll have links to all that stuff when our site launches, our new website launches on March 15th. Hey, listen, everybody, go out and have a great week. Thanks for joining us this evening. God bless.